I want to greet each and every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord truly for the opportunity to be here in West 65th Street Church of Christ. Thank the Lord for this opportunity to defend His gospel. The Lord told me to defend His gospel. I'm not here to defeat Don McLean. I've seen Don McLean versus David Hepp. I'm not here to defeat Don McLean. I'm here to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to do that with the scriptures. Want to go to the Word of the Lord. Matter of fact, I mean, why it's fresh on your mind, he was talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, so we'll just go there. I apologize, I don't have all the fancy stuff here, but we're going to just go old-fashioned, so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Beginning in verse, we're going to go to verse 8. We're going to start in verse 8. Now, I have to answer the five questions, but there's no. I can do it the second half if I want to, right? So we'll just go and see what happens. Lord willing, I'll hit it on the second. Do I have to answer the first half? Is there a rule?
You should answer them before the second half.
Is that in the writing, though?
That's part of it.
I mean, but is that in the writing that I have to do it the first half?
Yeah, I mean in your first speech.
In my first speech? Okay, I'll try to get to that here in a few minutes. He's keeping time for me, right? Okay, I'll walk. Before it gets to the end, I'll take care of that. Alright, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 8 says, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." Even Paul only had part. He didn't even have the full thing. But he says, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." So we say, well, is the Word of God perfect? Well, Jesus is perfect. There's a lot of things that are perfect. Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect." A lot of things are perfect. Doesn't say the completion of the New Testament Scripture. So we want to use that. But let's just look a little bit deeper what he's saying here. He says, "When I was a child, I spank as a child. I understood as a child." Now, he says that there's going to be a time that tongues will cease, knowledge will vanish, and prophecies will fail. And there'll be a time frame that will cease, and then faith, hope, and charity will carry on. But that's not what he said. Let's read. Let's look exactly what he said, because that's adding to the text what it doesn't say. He says, "For when I was a child, I spank as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Now, watch here. Verse 12. "For now we see through a glass darkly." So when he's talking about now, he's talking about right now when he's writing this. This is now, when these gifts do occur. "Now we see through a glass darkly. But then being when that which is perfect has come." When that which is perfect is when then is. You notice how he says now and then. We know now means now, when gifts are occurring. And then means when the perfect has come, when they will no longer occur. He says, "For now we see through a glass darkly." There's your word now. "But then," there's your then, "face to face." We got another now. "Now I know in part." Right now he's saying I know in part. "But then, when that which is perfect has come, I shall know even as I am known." Now look what he says in verse 13. He says, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity." He didn't say, "And then will abide faith, hope, and charity." When these gifts cease, then that's what our opponent, or the Church of Christ evangelist has stated, that there will be a time that these things will cease and we'll have faith, hope, and charity. But that's not what Paul said. Paul said, "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity." Not then. Now, if he would have said, "Now abideth these gifts, but then abideth faith, hope, and charity," we can use that as a doctrine. But Paul said, "Now." And even right before he said "now," he said several things. I'm going to go over it again. "When I was a child," "for now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know even as I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity." So that doctrine is shut down right there. That's not Scripture. We're reading into it something that's not there. Now, so we say that the building blocks, the scaffolding, is to build the church. And once you've done these things, it's already for the New Testament to be complete. The scaffolding is there. And once that's there, then we have no need for these things. That's not what the Scripture says. First of all, the church is not done. The church is not complete. I want to deal with a few things that he was talking about as it comes to me, if that's all right. Then I will deal with the five questions. He made a statement that in Ephesians, he says that has, and matter of fact, this will deal with one of the questions. We'll knock one of them out right now. One of the questions was, has the unity of the faith been completed yet? Okay? The works were done from the foundation of the world, so the unity of the faith has been completed before the foundation of the world. But have we come to the unity of the knowledge of the faith of the Son of God unto a perfect man is the question. Not has the unity been completed, but the Scripture says, let's go to Ephesians, if you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse... Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. He said, He gave some... I want you to really pay attention to this part right here, too. He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists. I believe Mr. McLean calls himself an evangelist. And he was saying that there's no need for the things I'm fixing to read, because it's been complete. But let's read what evangelists are for. Let's read... If we still need evangelists, let's read why we need evangelists still. He says... He says in verse 11, this is Ephesians 4 and 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, of which we have one here that claims to be, and some pastors and teachers. Do we still have pastors? Do we still have teachers? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Do we still have saints that need to be perfected? Do we still have a work of the ministry? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Does the body of Christ still need to be edified by evangelists and teachers? Till we're going to need teachers. We're going to need evangelists. We're going to need pastors. Until we all come. Not till the faith is here. But until we. That's what we're waiting on. Until we all come. It's already there. It's already perfect. But we need to get there. Till we all come to the unity of the knowledge of the faith of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Till we get there. Are we all there yet? If we're not there yet, then we still need pastors, evangelists, teachers. These things, he uses the Scripture to say that we don't have to have gifts no more because this has already come and taken place. But yet, if that's the case, then why do we call ourselves evangelists? Why do we call ourselves teachers? Why do we still edify? Why do we have a work of the ministry? It's till we all come. And I haven't got there yet. I don't know if you have. I still know in part. I don't have this full thing. I still prophesy in part. I still know in part. But when that which is perfect has come, when teleos, which means finished, the Bible says that perfect tabernacle, when he comes and says, all things are complete and we will be perfect, we will have new bodies. When that takes place, then we'll have no need for tongues. Why? Because he's here. We'll have no need for prophecies. Why? Because it's done. We'll have no need for knowledge. But now we need knowledge because we only know in part and prophesy in part until the perfect has come. And teleos has not come yet. That perfect tabernacle, the completion of all things, the finished product is not here. The New Testament Bible does not say when the New Testament Bible is complete. That's adding to the Word of God. And the Bible says in the book of Revelations, if we add to or take away, it's a very dangerous thing. Of course, he was talking about the words of this prophecy, but I wouldn't want to add to the Word of God and say and try to fit something somewhere that it's not. All I can say is the finish of all things is not done. The complete teleos is not done. It has not taken place yet. Okay? So the statement was made, when before this is all over, we would like to see a sign. Question was asked, we would like to see a sign. I want to go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Beginning in verse 38. I'm glad you brought your Bibles. I hear the flicking on the pages. That's good. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Now, there was many signs given. But look what happened when they asked for one. Look what Jesus responds to them. He says, But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation. You hear God. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. That's evil. The Bible says, An evil generation and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. But the Bible says, and referring to that statement that he made, I would go to Matthew chapter 13. Just skip over a chapter and go to verse 58. And I find in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, Jesus says this. He says, And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Jesus is not here to do magic tricks. I'm not here to do a magic trick to make you believe. I'm not Houdini as he had up there. But if you want to see a miracle of God, first thing you've got to do is believe. Not ask to seek a sign, but believe. When the woman came to Jesus, she said within herself, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole." She believed. And the Lord turned to her as she touched, and virtue left him, and he said, "Daughter, be of good courage. Thy faith hath made thee whole." If we don't have faith and we don't believe, we're an evil and adulterous generation if we seek a sign. Now, I'm not calling Mr. McLean evil and adulterous generation. I'm just saying this. That's what the Word of God says. So we might not want to ask that question. But just believe God. I believe the Word of God. He mentioned something about, I heard something mentioned about, in the beginning of the thing about it might not have been Mr. McLean, but I heard someone say something about, maybe it was the orientator, moderator or whatever, said something about contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Let me ask you a question. What was once delivered to the saints? Did the church have tongues by the Spirit and interpreting of tongues? Did the church have wisdom by the Spirit, knowledge by the Spirit? Did the church have miracles? Did they cast out devils? Did they lay hands upon the sick and the sick recover? Was that in the faith that was once delivered unto the saints? We are supposed to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And if that was the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, that's what I want. I'm going to try to stay on the defense. I'll leave my statements for tomorrow, Lord willing. I'm going to try to defend what he has spoken. He said something about the word. All we need now is the Word of God to edify. That's not the Bible, though. We're to edify one another. And not just in the Word of God. He said that all we need is the Word of God to edify. I don't remember exactly what he quoted it, but he made a statement of such. But I find in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 4 says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church." The church was not just being edified only by the Word of God, but it was by tongues, and they would edify themselves. They would prophesy, and they would edify the church. These letters were written to the church. But then as soon as the church received them, they're no good. So don't bother reading it, because as soon as you get this letter, you might as well throw it away because they've ceased. He said that Simon the sorcerer, I have to correct this statement. How many minutes do I got, sir? 18 minutes. He made a statement that was incorrect, not against this person, but I want to correct the statement that he made about Simon the sorcerer. He said in Acts chapter 8, we will go over to verse 19. He made the statement in Acts chapter 8, 19, speaking of Simon the sorcerer, that Simon the sorcerer desired to have this gift of laying on the hands. And what he said was, and you can quote me, it was pretty close to this, it might be a little bit off, but he said something along the lines, "This is not for you," that Peter said, "This is not for you." And then he made something about, then he made the statement, he said, Peter told him, "This is not for you," is what he said. Then he says, "We can get in trouble for wanting something that's not for us." That's not what happened over there in the 8th chapter. We need to analyze the scripture and see what happened over there. And I'm defending what really happened over there in the 8th chapter, verse 19. He says, verse 18, Acts chapter 8, verse 17. "When they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost." This is what happens today. At least, this is what happens in our churches. "Then when Simon saw something, that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given," look here, "and he offered them money." Look at Peter's response. He didn't say, "This is not for you." "And he offered them money," verse 19, "saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever's hand, whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But look what Peter really said. He didn't say, "This is not for you." "But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee." He wasn't rebuked for seeking this gift. He was rebuked for asking to buy it. He said, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray if perhaps that the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come unto me. Didn't hear nothing about, and he said, this is not for you. It's not in the Bible. We don't want to add nothing to the Scripture to dilute minds. I'm here to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. Simon was out of order because he thought that he can buy the gift. The gift is to whoever will. What did he say in John chapter 14? He said, the works that I do shall ye do, and greater. He said, he that believeth. Do you believe? He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall ye do, and greater. Because I go unto my Father. He didn't say, these are going to the disciples, but he that believeth on me. All right? I want to deal with his five questions now, Lord willing. He says, is there a possibility that you could be wrong in your understanding of spiritual gifts continuing today? Well, if you ask me that about many other things that I might talk about and think that I might know or don't know or whatever, I might say there's a possibility. But to say that gifts aren't today, I have to say there's no way I could be wrong. And you would say, well, that's mighty arrogant. No. I guess what it takes, whenever I had a hole in my thumb from a brown lacus, my thumb was rotten out. I called the hospital, tried to go to the hospital to get it taken care of. And they canceled. This is when I was young in God. And so then I went to church, and I did like the woman, reached up, touched the hem of his garment in my mind and my heart, as the elders anointed me with oil and prayed for me, just like James 5 said. And I touched the hem of his garment in my heart, went home, laid down, had a hole in my thumb, closed my eyes, woke up, something said, look at your thumb. I had baby skin. Went from a rotted hole in my thumb to baby skin. Is there a possibility that you could be wrong in your understanding of miraculous spiritual gifts continuing today? No. I've seen it with my own eye. A hole in my thumb to baby skin. Not over 6 weeks. I was bit by another brown lacus on my foot. And the Lord allowed it to be healed naturally, but what he put in all of our bodies, it healed naturally, and it took a long time for it to heal. But when he done it to my thumb, when I went before the elders of the church, and he done it to my thumb, I had a hole. I laid down, closed my eyes with a hole in my thumb. I woke up, someone said, look at your thumb. I looked at my thumb, I had baby skin. It wasn't sore, it wasn't sensitive. The only difference between the two thumbs was one had old skin, one had new skin. And to be quite frank with you, I don't even remember which one it was, but I'm thinking it's this one, but there is no scar. When God heals, he doesn't put scars. All right, second question, is the Word of God completed? The Bible says, the Scripture says the works were done before the foundation of the world. God's Word is always complete. Has the completed Word of God and everything in the Word of God been revealed to us? No. You say, whoa, what are you now? What are you saying now? Well, I remember Paul saying something about, I knew a man once in the Lord. He said, whether in the body or out of body, I don't know. But he was caught up into the third heaven and heard things that were not lawful to be uttered. So he's heard the Word of God. There's words of God that's not been revealed. Has everything been revealed? Everything is revealed that he wants us to know for this time, yes. Everything has been revealed until the completion of all things, till teleos has come. Yes, everything will, as far as my understanding of reading the Scriptures, everything is revealed in the Scripture that he wants us to know, as far as doctrinal-wise. But the Lord will still move on situations just like he moved on Paul. He gave Paul revelation, not doctrinal revelation. But Paul, man filled with the Holy Ghost, was going to go to Asia, and the Spirit spoke to him and told him not to go there. He had a vision or a dream, and a man was telling him to come to Macedonia. I believe the Spirit still reveals, hey, I want you to go over here. Hey, I want you to do this. I was in a store one time. I was standing there. We baptized the man in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. I was standing there in line, and the Lord spoke to me because the young man, I was up in Eureka. I didn't know of a church up there. I don't want to tell somebody to go to this church just because it has this name. I want to know the people. I don't want to send somewhere they'll get killed, you know, spiritually destroyed. And so I began to pray, Lord, show me what church to send this man to. The next night I was in the Walmart, the same Walmart that we met him and baptized him. Or actually, a friend of mine was with me, baptized him. And the Lord spoke to me and told me that this man, this was a revelation God gave me. It's not doctrine. The Lord spoke to me and told me, he said, this man right here is of the right faith. He'll tell you what church to go to. Well, I didn't know. I wasn't sure if it was God. So I began to walk out the store. The Spirit hit me strong again, just like it hit Paul. Don't go to Macedonia or don't go to Asia. Go to Macedonia. The Spirit would speak to him and tell him different things, reveal different things. Not doctrine. The doctrine, I believe, is he's revealed all that we need to know, or that he's going to give us until Telios has come. But he told them, don't go here, don't go here. The Spirit would move them and reveal where he wanted them to go and what his will was. But the Spirit stopped me again. So I went back, I went over to the man, and I said, sir, this might kind of sound strange. The Lord talks to me in different kind of ways, but what faith are you? And he told me. And I said, that's what I thought. I said, you believe in Jesus, baptism in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, and all? He said, yes, that's what the Lord told me. I said, there's a man that needs to know of a church. We baptize him. The Lord told me to ask you which one to send him to. And he said, I know just the church. He told me which one to send him to in Eureka Springs. So what am I saying? I'm saying that God will reveal things like that. Not doctrine. I don't believe he's going to give any more doctrine. But the Spirit will speak to you. The Spirit will move on you. Can we not say that God cannot reveal to us, Lord, is this woman my wife? Is this the woman you want me to marry? Is this the woman you want me to marry? Speaking of prophecy, my wife, that's how we got married. Before we got married, she was prophesied to. A lady went to her, told her, you're going to marry a preacher before we were ever married. Well, that prophecy came to pass. Let's go down the line here. Was the revelation of God's truth complete when Paul wrote his letter to the epistles to the Corinthians? Was the revelation was it all completely revealed to the people? Well, as far as did the people have the full doctrine, the apostles' doctrine? No. Did they have the fullness of the apostles' doctrine? No. They did not have it. They did not have it. All right. But God's truth was complete from the beginning. The Bible says in the beginning God said, "Let there be light." That wasn't the sun. He didn't make the sun until like I think the third or fourth day. He said, let there be light. That's the light of the gospel of glorious truth was complete from the beginning. God said, let there be light. It just took time to get here to us. All right, verse 4. Are the words of the Holy Spirit sufficient to bring a person to saving faith and lead him to heaven without the Holy Spirit directly, miraculously acting upon his mind or heart? No. No. Okay, you want Bible for that? Let's go to John chapter 6. How many minutes do I got now? Okay. John chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 44. John chapter 6, verse 44. Now, you need the Word of God. Without the Word of God, you can't be saved. Without faith, you can't be saved. There's a lot of things you got to mix in. You got to obey to be saved. You have to obey. There are a lot of things, but can a person be saved without faith? No. No. Without faith, they cannot be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You got to believe. The Word of God can have all the faith. But now, does there have to be a spiritual moving on an individual? Yes. All right, let's read the Bible. John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Not 7 years before the last day, not 3.5 years before the last day, but I'm going to raise him up on the last day. No man can come to me, saith the Lord, except the Spirit of my Father draw. Draw. Not except my words, but except the Spirit. You can. Have you ever done that? Preach to somebody? Try to preach to them, preach to them, preach to them. They can't receive it. It's not their time. 6 years later, then they come and receive it. You gave them the Word 6 years ago, but they didn't get it. They didn't receive it. Why? God wasn't dealing with them. God has to deal with them. God has to deal with them. He does things in times. Maybe it's not their time yet. You can give them the Word of God all day long. But when the Spirit is ready, He'll move on the individual. And the Bible says their hearts will be pricked by the Word when the Spirit of God is drawing them. But you can give them that same Word and their hearts will never be pricked. But when the Spirit of God draws them, it will. All right, the same chapter, chapter 6, verse 50, I think it's actually 60. Thank you, Jesus. Bear with me. It's the same chapter, John 6, verse 65. It says, and he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come to me except it were given him, except it were given unto him of my Father. No man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. If God's not dealing with somebody, you can talk to them until you're blue in the face. They're not going to receive it. But when God starts dealing with them, you can say half of what you said 6 years ago. And they'll fall on their face and repent and cry out to God because God's dealing with their heart. Things ain't just easing right with them. All right, let's go through here. I guess I think I answered them all. If I didn't, let me know because I started with 5, the unity of the faith, and I just went through 1 through 4, so I believe I've completed the 5 questions. How many minutes do I have? 5 minutes. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. All right. He had mentioned something about, because I had asked him a question. I had asked him a question about is any going to prophesy in the future? Any more prophecies in the future since the time that the New Testament was complete? And he said there would be no more prophecy. But since he answered that question, I can deal with that as on a defense of what he spoke. I want to go to Revelations. Revelations chapter 11, beginning in verse. Revelations chapter 11, beginning in verse 6. Revelations 11 and 6. These have power to shut heaven. Two witnesses that are coming. They haven't taken place yet, and I can prove it. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. We're going to have two individuals that are going to prophesy. And have power over waters to turn them to blood. If gifts of prophecy has already ceased, if that which is perfect has already come, then how come the Bible says these guys are going to prophesy? And have power over waters to turn them to blood and smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now, we've had some discussions on the radio between me and Don McLean, and he believes that this beast took place at a different time. I believe it's still to come. He thinks it's already came. If I'm not mistaken, I think he thinks the beast came whenever. I think he thinks what his understanding of it is that when God freed us from the Catholic strongholds and delivered us from the Catholic strongholds was when that took place, when that beast was slain. And, well, matter of fact, we know that he's not been thrown in the bottomless pit yet. But if we think that he has, then if you think that it was the 2nd century or the 3rd century, was the New Testament complete? Then I wonder. But we know that it was. But nevertheless, let's read about these prophets when the beast was still on the earth, and it hasn't come yet, but if I'm just going from the Church of Christ's understanding. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So it'll be where our Lord was crucified. And they of the people, and kindreds, and tongues, and nations, shall see their dead bodies. The nations... Not nation. Nations, kindreds, and tongues. How could they have done that 2,000 years ago? Well, they didn't have TVs and satellites and things. But now, we have these things, and these things, they can see these things. And so what am I saying? There's going to be some people coming that are going to prophesy. After the New Testament was complete. And their dead bodies shall be in the street of the great city, and spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people, kindreds, tongues, and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves, and that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because the two prophets, I'm not going to get into that, but nevertheless, tormented them in 3 days. So that's proven that prophecy, the question that I asked him, is still going to take place in the future. There will be two men that will prophesy. I asked him, do you know in part? And he said, it's not about what I know, it's about what's revealed. But that's not what Paul said. He didn't say, right now, it's only revealed in part. It's not what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But he says, now we know in part. We know in part. But then shall we know even as we're known. He knows in part, Paul said. Do we know in part still today? I know in part. I'm not afraid to say it. I only know in part. What's revealed might be revealed. 1 minute left. What's revealed might be revealed, but what's revealed is not what he said. He said, I know. Now I know. What I know is only part. But then I'll know face to face. When that which is perfect, when teleos has come. Well, I thank the Lord truly for the opportunity to come here and present and defend this gospel to you. And hopefully tomorrow we'll bring some more. I'm trying to stay as much as I can on the defense of what he said against what he said, instead of rather than going into what I'd like to say to you. But nevertheless, I got to touch up on a few things. Thank the Lord for you. May the Lord bless and keep an open understanding to his truth. That's why I'm here.